Yesterday, as I was preparing my homily, I jokingly put on my Facebook status that I wish all these poor and needy people would leave me alone so I could finish my homily on the Good Samaritan. It was a little joke, but I put that there because it's kind of part of a story that I was thinking of for my homily. You see, they actually did an experiment. Some psychologist actually wanted to see what difference religion actually made in people's lives and how they would act in a particular situation. So the experiment that they contrived was they went to a seminary. Now, what they set up was they told some selected seminarians that they had been specially chosen for a preaching contest. Their instructions were they were to go to this building over here, they would be told their topic, and they would have 15 minutes to prepare. Then they had to be over at the auditorium over here across campus a little ways to give their famous homily in the competition. Well, it was all contrived because what happened was each person was given the topic of the Good Samaritan. They were supposed to preach on the Good Samaritan. However, unbeknownst to the seminarians, in between the building where they were preparing and the auditorium, the psychologist had placed a man who was looking as if he had been beat, robbed. He was bleeding, clearly right in the middle of the road, in between the two buildings. So these seminarians, one by one, they gathered in this building. They were told, your topic is the Good Samaritan. And they would quickly try to pore over, trying to think of all the examples they could use. How are they going to preach a homily on the Good Samaritan? And then they're told, that's it, time's up, you got to go. And so they would come out the door and they head towards the auditorium, and they had a camera on the actor that they had posed as the man who had been beaten and robbed and was in need of help. So they would get to him, and the man would be calling out, help, help. Well, it's not very pretty, because on the camera, what they saw was some of the seminarians saw the man and deliberately went way out of their way to go around. They took another sidewalk. Other people went right past him and didn't even look. Some people might have stopped and looked and said, I gotta go, I'm busy. Other people, sadly, some of the seminarians came up, and at least one of them actually ran right over the person. One actually kicked him to get him out of the way. All so that they could get over to the other building to give a homily on the Good Samaritan. That story kind of struck me in that we all know the story of the Good Samaritan. Obviously, these seminarians knew it. They were about to give up a big homily illustrating the points of the Good Samaritan. And yet, when they encountered it in their everyday life, they blew right past it, or even insulted or kicked the person that was down. Why? Well, in fairness to the seminarians, I guess a little bit, when they retried the experiment, but they gave them no time constraint. They weren't pressed for time. They found that at least the percentage of people that stopped and helped the poor man went up. So maybe that in itself is a good lesson to us. How often do we pass by the people in need in our life precisely because we're in a hurry and we're busy with other things? We really do try to keep so busy in our lives. Do we see the people that are in need, that God has put there? Or do we just kind of say, I'd like to help, but I don't have enough time. I gotta get going. Maybe we need to be a little less busy and a little more caring and noticing. You know, another reason, though, I think, is illustrated by a different study that psychologists did. They wanted to see what the effect of a group mentality was on people. So what they did was they staged an interview, a very important interview, and they told the person that for whatever reason, because of confidentiality, they couldn't see the interviewer, and they had to talk across intercoms and not see each other. In the midst of that interview, the interviewer himself would fake that he was having an epileptic seizure and in need of help. What they found was that when the person thought they were one-on-one, the only person there interviewing with the person, 86% of them, when the person went into the feigned epileptic shock, would immediately leave the room and go call for help. But what they found when they added multiple people so that they thought that it was a group interview and there were other people. They found that the more people they added, the less likely it was that anybody would do anything. Everybody would think, well, somebody else, one of the other people here will do something. And it ended up that nobody did anything most of the time. And the more people they added to the interview scenario, the less likely it was that anybody would help. I think maybe that's also one of the reasons why sometimes we pass by the people in need in our lives. It's not that maybe we're not at least moved to some degree. Maybe we see the homeless person there or the person begging for a little bit of money or food. And maybe we really do feel moved. Like, gosh, I wish I could help somehow, but I don't know what to do. And I mean, somebody will take care of him. I think especially in America, where so many of us in our own community have more than enough to get by, that a lot of times our solution to wanting to help people is, well, I'll give some money to support a good cause. Maybe Doorstep or Let's Help. Or maybe we even think that, you know, I give money in taxes all the time, and that pays for the homeless shelters. I pay federal taxes, and that pays for welfare. So, I mean, I'm taking care of the poor. I'm giving lots of money, and I'm very charitable. It's all well and good. But there's an important principle of Catholic social justice teaching that gets overlooked here. We all know about the preferential option for the poor. That's one of the key tenets of Catholic social teaching. We should look out for the poor. But how do we do that? And that's where this principle comes in. It's a principle called subsidiarity. Subsidiarity. We hear about it so infrequently that when I actually typed it in Microsoft Word, it flagged it as being not a word. It is a word. It's in the catechism all over the place on social justice. Subsidiarity, in a nutshell, means that when you go to attack a problem, do it at the lowest level possible. If a little community can handle their problem, don't let the state or the federal government do it. Do it at the local level. If we've got homeless people here in Topeka, well, that's our problem. It's not the state's problem or the federal government's problem. The lowest level comes down to individual people a lot of times, you and me. When we see that homeless person, that person needing food or bread who maybe shows up at our doorstep, well, who's the lowest level? I am. You are. That's subsidiarity, to say it's not somebody else's problem. Somebody else is not going to take care of it, and even if they could, this person is here with me on my doorstep. I have to take care of them. You know, as great as it is that we would maybe give money to an operation like Doorstep, Doorstep was founded to also point out that it's not just about money. They run the soup kitchen there so that people can volunteer and go and help and feed the homeless and the hungry. We really can do something, and we've got to. And that's really why Jesus tells us the parable of the Good Samaritan. A lot of times we look for laws to tell us what to do. What are the rules? What do I have to do? But ultimately, there are no rules that are going to say, thou shalt help change a spare tire when someone's tire goes flat. There's no law that tells you you should give a ride to someone who can't walk or a cool drink to someone who's thirsty. There are no laws like that. No policeman is going to come and arrest you if you leave today and pass someone lying on the street and don't help them. But Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan to say it's more than just the law. The priest and the Levite who are described in there, they fulfill the law. In fact, the law might have even told them that maybe you can't touch that person that's maybe half dead because you would be unclean. They fulfilled the law. But Jesus asks more than just the law of us. He's concerned about the heart. St. John of the Cross tells us that in the evening of life, we will be judged on our love. That is what Jesus asks of us today, to recognize that we are the lowest level in that subsidiarity principle. It's good that we give money. The man who helped here, the Good Samaritan, he had 2 silver coins. He gave some money to help. But look at what else he did too. And he picked the man up, took him to the inn. We need people to do that too. So as we leave today, be on the lookout. Don't be like the seminarians that were in such a hurry that they just passed by the person in need. Maybe there'll be somebody out in the parking lot today. Maybe I planted them there. You don't know. Or maybe, just maybe, God planted them there. Maybe God has planted people all over your life in need. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. The question is, what will we do?